Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me in the studio today,
for the first time in a year, 19 months,
yes, is
Matthew Stargirl, Pat Dugan, Mike Dugan, Yolanda Montez, Beth Foster, Our Man, Green Lantern's daughter, Ivermectin Haas.
Ivermectin Haas. I'm just going to call you Ivermectin.
That's fine.
Okay, so Ivermectin. Ivermectin Matt.
Yep.
That's your new rap name.
Ivermectin Matt.
Yes.
Yep.
So, before we get started here, have you ever heard the song Norwegian Wood by the Beatles?
Nope.
Okay, so the song opens up. If you take a listen to it, it's a very famous song that people know, besides you. it starts out, I once had a girl, or should I say, she once had me. She showed me her room. Isn't it good, Norwegian Wood? The song then ends. I mean, there's a bunch of other lyrics in the middle. And at the end of the song, he says, I lit a fire, isn't it good, Norwegian wood. So that leads me to believe the singer of the song burned down this girl's room. So I think the song's about an arsonist.
It could be. I mean, it kind of tracks with, you know, John Lennon, you know, was known to, you know, be somewhat, maybe not somewhat, but abusive towards, you know, his lady folks. So,
I mean, it could be.
It reminds me of this article from The Onion, which it says, man likes telling people at parties that John Lennon used to beat his wives. It's like, I always get a little kick out of it, like, anytime anyone brings up the Beatles.
Wow.
I know, it's bad.
So, anyways, today on the show, we are covering the 7th episode of Season 2 of
Stargirl.
Yes.
That was weird. Wow.
Stargirl.
Is that Eclipso's laugh?
No, it's just my laugh.
Oh, okay.
That's how I laugh all the time. It's really annoying when I'm watching a comedy.
Just go.
Wouldn't it be weird if somebody had an evil laugh when they watched a comedy?
No. Yeah, it would be a little bit.
Yeah, like if, you know, you're sitting there watching Superbad or something, and there's a guy in the theater.
What is it? Dracula?
Yeah. But that would be funny.
Yeah, kind of.
I would kill that person.
Whoa.
And bury them in my backyard.
Mm.
Which is weird because I don't have a backyard.
I was going to say, wait a minute. Well, you have a back of the apartment, so I guess technically that could be your backyard.
Or I could just bury them in my neighbor's apartment.
Yeah. What, just dig a hole in the carpet?
The floorboards.
There you go. What's that smell? No, wait a minute. It's fine. Yeah,
it's fine. You might want to report it to the complex. They'll take care of it.
Speaking of murder,
yes,
it's a very special episode of Stargirl.
Yes,
because you didn't think we would have that in a superhero show, but we do. We have a very special episode
about murder.
It's about Yolanda, the Christian Catholic murderer who feels terrible about the fact that she murdered someone at the age of 16. Yeah.
I know when I murdered my first person at the age of 16, I felt kind of bad about it.
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, but then by the time I was 17, I got over it, yeah. You know.
Well, you need that year of, you know,
reflection. Yeah. Exactly. There was, you know, a dance or something that got my mind off of things. a high school football game or something I went to, and it was just like, oh,
that was it. You're yeah, like, oh, it's fine now. Now
I moved on with my life. Yeah. You know,
no, it reminds me too of like the fact that like, so like, technically, Harry Potter murdered someone by the age of 11.
Yes,
if you think about it. So like that, like no wonder why he's such like a fucked up character. Like if you read the books, like. The kid's got so many emotional problems. It's insane. Like, and the reason why is he murdered someone when he was 11 years old. Never got over it. Never really talked about it. I don't think he'd ever talked about it once. The fact that he killed a guy, his teacher, no less. When he was technically, too, if you want to get technical about it, he almost murdered Voldemort when he was 1 year old. He would have died had he not made those Horcruxes. So technically, Harry would have been a murderer at the age of one. So that's kind of
that's even harder to deal with.
I wouldn't say murder; it was self defense. But still, he would have killed mm-hmm. by the time he was 1 year old.
I mean, so. Yolanda did it in self defense too, in my opinion.
Kind of, she did. It was kind yeah. of it, well. He, I mean, he was not actively attacking her, but had she not incapacitated him, then again, all she had was claws. Not the staff, not a way to...
She had Santa Claus?
No, she had... No, not Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just making sure. No. Just making sure.
Not the Claus.
No.
Not that Claus.
Claus. And not the Santa Claus. No. Like, she wasn't hanging out with Tim Allen or anything.
No, Tim Allen wasn't there.
Okay.
He killed someone else later in the show. Off screen. No, he just killed someone who was working on set. He happened to be there that day. I don't know what he was doing, but...
No, he didn't. I just don't want people to think that we're accusing Tim Allen of being a murderer. I mean, a coke dealer, yes, but not a murderer.
Yeah, a coke dealer, yeah. Who's now, like, super, like, bootstraps, you know, America. Yeah. Okay, yeah, nice. Uh-huh. Tell that to your cellmate when you're in jail for 5 years. Anyway.
So, anyways, today's episode that we're covering is, like I said, Season 2, Episode 7... entitled Summer School, Chapter 7, directed by Shilin Choksi. Choksey. Cool. Choksi?
I like that.
Choksi? Choksi?
I like Choksi better.
And written by Robbie Hein. So, in this episode, Matt, Courtney is struggling to restore the cosmic staff.
Mm-hmm.
And begins talking to Cameron more often.
Uh-oh.
You know what happens?
You're not supposed to.
You know what happens when you talk to Cameron more often?
What's that?
You talk to Cameron more often.
Well, yeah, that's a given.
Yes.
But also, too, things might get a little bit cold. Hmm.
Just a little.
I wonder why that's happening.
Just a little bit colder. I'm in a rare mood today.
Me too. It's a little bit off-putting being in the studio.
Yeah.
It's like throwing me off a little bit.
We also have new recording equipment, mm-hmm. and we're trying this out. So if it sounds bad, folks, deal with
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah.
You
these
know.
Things happen. Just, you know.
Don't go off and kill me.
No. Don't call Tim Allen and have him do it for you either, so...
But if you do call Tim Allen, ask him to be on the podcast, I would love to interview him.
Ask him if he has any Coke, too.
But I'm drinking Pepsi right now, though.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Tastes good. Mm-hmm. Pepsi, the choice of Mike
mm-hmm.
and a new generation.
I mean, it's been around since, like, what, the 1850s, so...
Yes, yeah, well, 1890s or so, yeah.
So lots of generations have you know, imbibed
Pepsi. But it is the choice of a new generation.
But it's always a new generation, so of course.
It's always the choice of a new generation.
I mean, that's just given. I mean, so long as there's new generations, it's always going to be a choice to be made about the soft drinks that they, you know, drink. Maybe.
Yes.
If we have any more future generations, I'm not sure if, you know, we're going to have too many, you know, in the coming decades, but, you know, we'll see.
Not with global warming.
No. Which, you know, isn't real, so, it's, you know, it's fine.
Okay, so, back to the show here. Courtney is struggling to restore the cosmic staff and begins talking to Cameron more often, as we've said. There's a meeting at the... what's the place that Barbara works?
It's like the American, like, Restoration Project or something like that.
It's like Make America Great Again sort of thing. Well, not really, but...
kind of, in a little way, yeah.
Yeah. So... Courtney... anyways, Barbara has this meeting. They decide that they're gonna still help out these people, even though this one weird lady doesn't want to help the people.
Yeah.
So, after that, there's, like, some weird, strange substance dripping from the ceiling, like blood or something. I mean, that happens.
You know, as you do when you're in an office setting.
Like, the people that live below them, my neighbors, they probably have some blood dripping into their apartment.
I hope not.
From the body I buried.
You keep talking about the bodies a lot. It's starting to concern me.
I'm sorry. Matt, I've got a confession to make.
No. What?
Forgive me, Matt, for I have sinned.
Well, I'm not a priest, so
it's not gonna... it's been 20 some years since my last confession, and I'm just gonna confess that I made up all this stuff about killing people. I've never killed anybody in my life. So that's
like your confession that you're lying about
killing people.
Okay, well, I guess that's technically a sin, but more of like wasting the priest's time sin. But I think that was the shade's blood, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what we think it is. I'm pretty sure it is. Nobody took it to, like, a lab to have it analyzed or anything.
Yeah, you'd think that would have been something to do, but apparently, like, you could have found someone from the old JSA or affiliated or whatever.
Called up the local CSI and have them come and...
Let's just see this mystic blood that's in the shadow realm, which we don't even know what that is, but okay, we'll just go test the blood.
I'm sure there's been shows like this, but we need to create a show where it's a mystic CSI.
That would actually be really good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's...
I don't know. I'm not sure of any shows that have really...
done that?
No, I don't. Not that I know of.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I can't even think of anything like that. That would be really interesting.
Yeah, nobody steal this, okay?
Don't you dare.
Nobody that's listening steal this, okay?
Yeah.
I'll sue you.
Yep.
And maybe kill you. Wait, no, I'm not going to kill anybody. So, anyways, we got this blood dripping. She doesn't know what it is. Yolanda is continuing to, like, struggle with Brainwave's death and begins hearing his voice. And then while she's at work, she ends up meeting Bruce, the little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Not Bruce Wayne.
No.
No. Because that would be weird.
Not young Bruce Wayne, no.
No, not a young Bruce Wayne. But, so she, she gets him a lollipop.
Yeah.
Blue raspberry.
Yeah, I caught that, you know. That's everyone's favorite flavor now, apparently.
That's going to be significant. Not really, but I'm just saying.
No, it could be.
Yeah.
Significant in the fact that it's not a real flavor.
Yeah.
What does that even mean, blue raspberry? It's a good flavor, sure, but I just don't know what it means. Like, I've had raspberries before. They don't taste anything like that, so...
I'll tell you what, folks. Stay tuned, and we'll get to the bottom of the blue raspberry mystery after one of our breaks.
We won't, but...
Yeah, well, we will.
Maybe.
Do you want to take a break, actually, Matt?
Sure.
Okay. We'll be right back, folks, after a word from our sponsors.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And, as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
So, blue raspberry.
Mm-hmm. You found it?
Yes.
Okay.
It is a flavoring for candy, snack foods, syrups, and soft drinks. The flavor ostensibly originates from some Latin word I'm not going to repeat. more commonly known as white bark raspberry or black cap raspberry. For the blue-black color of its raspberry. Food products labeled as blue raspberry flavor often contain a bright blue food coloring, the most common being Brilliant Blue FCF. Although this coloring is not an accurate rendition of the actual color of the fruit, which has an almost black hue when ripe, the color also helps distinguish raspberry-flavored foods from cherry, watermelon, and strawberry-flavored foods. The former usually being colored red, and the latter two also sometimes colored red, but often colored pink. If the same product is also available in cherry flavor, with watermelon sometimes being colored green as well. The flavor is first known to have been used in 1958 by Cincinnati food company Gold Medal as a flavor for their Italian ice.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's basically what it is.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I like it.
So it's a fake color.
It's a fake color.
Yes. You know.
You know, it reminds me too of the other flavor that's kind of somewhat unknown, like the original recipe. Like only a few people know about it. Like people who work like at the actual company.
Yeah.
Or maybe the people at the factory who actually make it, they might know. Who knows? Maybe not. Maybe they have people split up so they only mm-hmm. know one little part of it. But it's an ice cream flavor called Blue Moon that is prevalent in the Midwest, but not so much in other parts of the country. So, like, Ohio and Michigan.
Because I saw that for sale, and I was, like, wondering what the hell the flavor is.
It's a good flavor. It's, like, a fruity kind of flavor. But there's, like, it's also, like, maybe a little bit of vanilla ish, but nobody knows like the exact makeup of it except for the person who owns, I guess, the company the flavoring. Who makes it. And they said that they're gonna take that to the grave. They're not gonna tell anyone. So
when they die, they're never gonna be able to make it again.
Well, they might make. I mean, like, they're not gonna release it to like the public. Or whatever. There's a whole. I post the whole article about.
Oh.
What, you don't read every single thing I post on Facebook? Like, every single. Yeah, I posted.
I read nothing about, like, you post, okay. Matt. I'm joking.
I mean, I posted 3 weeks ago. I've only posted like 1,000 things since then. But yeah,
I read absolutely nothing. I don't even know how to read, Matt.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you know more than most people, so you know.
I know everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe not everything.
I'm a beautiful human being who knows everything.
And you're a beautiful human being, but you don't know everything. God knows everything, but you're not God. So.
How do you know?
But you know who is God? It's Joe Rogan. Is God. Return to ape or return to monkey or whatever. You know. All that ivermectin made him turn back into like an apish form.
Yeah.
But that's also what makes you have like godlike intelligence. So what happens is that the more knowledge you have, the less able you are to communicate that knowledge. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. So basically all the gorillas in the world are like godlike when it comes to intelligence. They can't communicate that to us. So, you know, it's a wash. By the way, you're going to need a washcloth if you take ivermectin, because you're going to end up, you know, going to the bathroom a lot, so.
Yes. So, Courtney and her friends.
Yes. What were we talking about? Starcrow?
Yeah, none of them have taken ivermectin, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe
possibly. Wow. So,
Wow.
Wow. And, Courtney, tries to console Yolanda, who's been taunted by these visions of Henry Jr. and Brainwave. When she does, however, Yolanda states they haven't killed anybody like she has.
Mm-hmm.
So she tries to convince her to talk to Beth and Rick about it as well. What happened? I mean, there were scenes I'm trying to remember the scenes in the church too. There was like a scene earlier on when she was confessing towards the beginning of the episode to her.
What goes to church a lot in this episode. This is a really Yolanda-centric episode. It's not a whole lot really actually happens in this episode. It's more of just navigating her guilt. And, you know, too, and it's like, you gotta understand, you know, Yolanda comes from a very religious family. Very conservative. Very morally conservative family. I don't know what their actual economic views are, but... I don't know. You know, who knows?
They could be.
And, I mean, she's already, you know, just, again, though, castigated, whatever the word is, because of those semi-nude photos she took for her boyfriend that ended up getting out to the whole school. So her family literally locks her in her room, like, after school every day until it's time for dinner. Like, that's how, like, terrible of, like, a family she has, except for her brother. He's the only one that sticks up for her. But she ends up, like, thinking the priest is Brainwave at one point, and then she goes out and has, like, you know, like, basically it's like, you know, hearing his, you know, his basically his whatever, his wave, you know, to like make her hold her ears and like have like a migraine. She's having these migraines all the time now, and she's seeing him now, Brainwave, just showing up now, like at the end of like at the, like, you know, in church or whatever, so she's like has to run out. At one point her mom was there because the priest said, like, you know, she's having a lot of like problems, like she's coming in here like every day or multiple times a day now and not really saying anything. At one point she actually confessed to the murder to the priest, but then that turned out to be just like a hallucination or a vision or a dream or something like that, because she was in like Courtney's house when she woke up. And she also did the same thing when she was in school, summer school. She fell asleep.
Yeah, and so, dreamed about Rick. Not Rick, I mean Henry.
Junior, or both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so she's kind of having, like, a mental break where she doesn't really know what's reality, which is scary. Because I wonder if this is, like, Eclipso is just, like... Because Eclipso have the ability to make people go mad. But I wonder if he's, like, doing it, like, piecemeal. Like, he's not just, like, full-on madness, which is, in a way, is actually kind of worse because you're just slowly dissociating, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to just having a full-on experience, like, you know, like Courtney and everyone else did when he was, like, took over the school and our teacher.
Yeah.
But, so who knows? Maybe this whole episode itself was a dream of Yolanda's, and we don't even know. Could be. We'll see, but... You know,
maybe the whole thing was inside Bobby Ewing's head, and it's just going to be
the whole show. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's, you know, like, that's a really old reference.
A very, very old reference, extremely old. But hey, what else happened in this show? Because this was a whole lot of talking and just like feeling in this episode.
So later, like you said, she goes to church and confesses, but is taunted by visions of Henry Jr. burning and Brainwave attacking Courtney. After Courtney awakens her, Yolanda lashes out at Courtney over choosing her to become Wildcat. And then she ends up quitting the JSA. Meanwhile, while this is all going on, Pat and Mike work to repair Stripe. And Mike finds fragments of the Black Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And hallucinates leeches attacking his skin before being awakened by Pat. Who has the Black Diamond because he hopes that it'll imprison Calypso that night.
Like, again, like...
Yeah.
So, does that mean the diamond itself has powers, or is it just like a remnant of Eclipso's powers are still attached to the diamond?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. I don't know what they're going for here.
Because that would be interesting if he's still somewhat attached to the diamond. Maybe they can then figure out a way to imprison him again.
Yeah, I want to see what they're doing because I've got a similar idea in a script I'm writing, and I don't want to.
Oh yeah, I know. What you're talking about.
I don't want to hit the same notes.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But we'll see here.
We'll see,
mine's a little different. But
it's not like you'd be ripping anything off because
it's like the Horcruxes sort of thing too. It's just very, you know,
it's very common. So it's not like you're gonna be in trouble. Plus, too, like even speaking of J.K. Well, speaking of the author of Harry Potter, I'm not gonna say her name, but that wasn't a very unique in itself because the Shannara stories have a same exact thing that came out like decades before Harry Potter.
Oh, really?
Where this one, the guy, his name is simply the Warlock Lord. That's, you know, what a creative name that, you know, you chose for yourself when you're supposed to try to take over the world. You think you would have maybe, you know, done a little bit more of, you know, coming up with a name. But, he did the same exact thing where he would put, like, but instead of, like bits and pieces of a soul on each thing, it was more of like just you had to collect all of the things, but it was pretty much the same exact thing. But that was actually more unique though, because in that story he actually time traveled, so he hid one of the objects in a different period of time.
Oh, okay.
So you would have to actually go, so, you know, Harry Voldemort wasn't smart to time travel, which you think, because they have time turners in Harry Potter, so there actually is time travel mechanism in Harry Potter.
Did Endgame steal that idea of time traveling to collect things?
Yeah. No. I'm just saying.
Anyway. Yeah, so, anyways, we have a nice little scene later on where, I mean, not nice scene, but some poignant scenes where Courtney keeps trying to call Yolanda, and Yolanda's not answering. Finally, her mom answers and basically says that, you know, she was an okay person until you came into her life and you fucked her up, basically, is what she's telling her, and that you're a bad influence and all this stuff.
Which is weird because none of her family knows that Yolanda's Wildcat.
No.
So how would she?
But they're
know
just probably thinking, Courtney's... she's like Courtney's her new best friend, and she was fine until that happened, I guess, or something.
But she doesn't.
No, but I mean,
I wonder if that's an Eclipso accidentally giving himself away.
Because I think Eclipso might be influencing Yolanda's mommy. Yeah.
That sounded weird.
I know it did.
Influencing Yolanda's mommy. That's like a name for a porn film.
Yes.
So influencing Yolanda's mommy.
Oh, okay. Boy.
But I remember that scene when they had, like, basically it was like a family, like, counseling session, or, like, you know, when she's telling what, you know, what she did, you know, because, like, you know, she's holding this guilt in.
Mm-hmm.
Can't talk to anyone about it except for Courtney. And even then, she doesn't really give all the details. So it was like this cathartic, you know, event to, like, just tell the whole team, like, what actually happened down in the basement or whatever when she killed Brainwave. And, you know, Beth had to be a moron and, you know, didn't just accept Yolanda's answer, so that made her feel like a worse person then, because, you know, because Beth is, like, the most immature person in the team, even though she's the smartest. Anyway, and sorry, it's kind of harsh on her. She's like 16, and her parents are getting divorced. I probably should, you know, be less of an asshole. But you know, who cares? You know, how dare you? You know,
she's a fictional character, by the way, Matt. Well, so you're okay.
She's a fictional character, but she's still a person. But yeah, because, you know, Yolanda's, you know, confronting, like, Rick, saying, "Well, you know, you had the opportunity to kill Solomon Grundy, but you didn't." He's like, "Oh, well, my strength was, you know, no, it wasn't. He was about to kill him, but he decided to show mercy to him and let him go." And in this entire season so far, he's been secretly feeding Solomon Grundy chicken from KFC and stuff like that. For what reason, we don't know yet. I thought at first it was because he was just doing that so that Solomon Grundy wouldn't kill other people and eat them. I don't know if he eats people
I think
not.
He just feels... Because like when he didn't kill him, he kind of had like a new... he started to realize this guy's still a human, you know, and he's got feelings, and like, I don't want to kill somebody that has feelings, even though he killed my parents.
Right. Well, he looks scared, like a kid almost.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too, is he's been, who knows what he used to look like before they, I guess, maybe did the equivalent of the Incredible Hulk, just gave him some kind of serum or something to make him, you know, bulky. Then they put him in literally a cage or a prison cage and just let him out here and there. Plus, too, I actually read that Brainwave was actually controlling Solomon Grundy the night that he killed Rick's parents. So it might not actually even been Solomon Grundy doing it himself, consciously. So technically, he's not really a murderer, at least not of Rick's parents. Who knows if he killed
him? We just need Solomon Grundy control, and like we do gun control, we need to have Solomon Grundy control.
Yes, we do. We need Grundy control.
Because Grundys don't kill people. No, people kill people.
Yes. When they control Grundy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good t-shirt idea. We need Grundy control.
Yeah.
And it's just got a picture.
Grundys don't kill people. People kill people. Yes.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So, yeah. He could have killed Solomon Grundy, but he chose not to, and then he lied about it. Whereas Yolanda actually slit... cut, you know, Brainwave's throat with her with the claws, not Santa Claus, not the Santa Claus with Tim Allen, but with her wildcat claws that came with her suit. And then she said, you know, so, you know, we're probably going to have to kill Eclipso because he's not going to, you know, he can't just incapacitate someone like that. So then she's going to have to be the one that's going to have to kill him because she already killed before. And then she says, you know, so I'm going to be the JSA member that kills. Like, that's going to be my role now, you know? And that's when she decided to quit. And it's just like, in, you know, like, a lot of these superhero shows, like, it was interesting because, like Arrow, of course, Oliver Queen's a certain kind of personality, but, like, whenever someone, like, gets killed in these, like, superhero shows, there's really not, like, much story behind it. Like, no one really talks about it afterwards unless it's like a main character.
Yeah, but really on the CW shows, not too many people have killed.
Exactly. Like, Barry Allen doesn't kill anyone.
Arrow didn't Queen, after a while.
But then he went back to killing.
Yeah.
So, but he probably killed hundreds of people. But to dedicate an entire episode, technically though, there was an episode when Oliver was in prison and that guy was like doing like those mental experiments on him to make him face like his demons. So I guess technically that was an episode where he was thinking about the fact that he had killed people. Then again, Oliver Queen wasn't a 16-year-old religious Catholic who hadn't done anything wrong in her entire life before murdering someone. So
yes,
you know.
And so at the end of this episode, we did have a scene of like, after Courtney kept trying to call Yolanda and not getting a hold of her, and then the mom got a hold, you know, told her basically, you know, fuck off. fuck off, you ruined my daughter.
Yeah, you know, that
and,
whole thing.
Yeah, like you do. And, then they showed a scene where, Yolanda's mom called to, say that Yolanda was quitting working at the diner now too. So,
oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. That's weird though.
Yeah.
Why does her mom want her to quit? Okay, that's.
And why did her mom call to quit at the diner, not her?
Like you said, I think it's Eclipso's controlling her.
The Eclipso might be controlling her, and maybe Yolanda's being held hostage now too.
That's what. Oh wow, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
And so then we have a little scene at the like. Table with the Dugan Whitmore family.
The Dukes.
Yeah. The Dukes and the Wits. The Duke Wits. And the Duke Wits are all sitting there and Mikey Duke Wit. he he starts to realize that, you know, he starts to basically confess that he feels guilty about killing, what's the dude's name?
Jordan.
Yeah.
/ Icicle.
Icicle, that's his name. I was trying to remember his villain name.
Yeah.
Yeah, he feels bad about it, even though it was an accident, really, because he just ran into him with a car and broke him into a bunch of pieces. That's happened to me before, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just hit someone, or...
Yeah, and then they broke into a bunch of pieces on the ground. We've never been able to find them since.
I always wonder, is Icicle really dead?
Yeah.
Because it seems like his power seems... I mean, like, if he just turns into ice cubes, can he just sort of, like, form himself? You know,
that's what I'm wondering. Like, and does he melt? What happened to that ice after Mike ran into him?
I'm starting to wonder if he's really dead or not. Maybe he just decided to lay low because his plan failed. And
speaking of him, I was watching an episode of How I Met Your Mother, and the actor was in that episode.
Really?
Yeah, as a date of Robbins. It was weird. yeah.
I hope not, because I just don't want the show to be a thing where it's like it's a new team of villains each season. Like, I'd like to have some people stay around for a while, like him.
Like, it's Jordan. Like, I really hope that that Isaac and Cindy aren't dead too.
Yeah, I know that seemed kind of like, I don't know, maybe they just wanted to quote go there, you know, like Degrassi used to say, we go there, you know. Like, oh my god, we totally just killed Steve Berman. What are you going to do about it, you know?
And I mean, the thing like this is, it's not like it's The Sopranos, where it's like a more realistically based show, where if somebody dies, they're dead.
They're dead, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like that. This is...
It's a DC show.
Yeah.
And a lot of DC characters come back to life.
Yeah. When you're dealing with a science fiction show of any kind, people can come back, you know.
Yeah.
Or if it's a soap opera, and this is kind of a science fiction soap opera, too. So it's Yeah.
And plus, too, since time travel, I'm thinking it's going to come into the show at some point.
Yeah.
They could just go, oh, we're going to get Icicle from, like, 2 weeks before he died and just put him into, you know... I'm not sure why I'm focusing so much on Icicle. I'm just wondering, because Cameron is now showing signs of... Because apparently this is a family trait.
Mm-hmm.
His mom... His grandma... I don't know if his grandfather has it, but it's... Well, I'm guessing it must be...
It must be on his mom's side. And on his grandma's side.
Yeah, because her husband hasn't showed any
signs of that.
Signs of it, but he knows what's up though, because that one time when Icicle killed the magician, he's like, "We'll just take care of his body," like you know, like you do.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you killed a man's son. Okay, we're gonna have dinner, but we'll just take care of his body before.
So, anyways, the show ends with little Brucey outside the Whitmore's house, laughing up a storm.
God.
And that creepy fucking laugh he has. That's
scary. Oh, God. I hope he's not going to be, like, choosing his form for the entire rest of this goddamn season.
Yeah.
That creepy kid laugh.
But the thing is I find this kid scarier than I do the actual Eclipso form.
No, I know. That's the thing. It's like... And I always want to know, why is he choosing this particular form? Because that was the same kid that lured Dr. McNider's daughter, Rebecca, to the birthday party across the street to steal a present. And then he killed her because she stole a present, even though he's the one that coaxed her into stealing the present. What's so special about this kid? Was it like his first kill? Well, that can't be right, because he's like an ancient demon or whatever.
Or it could be, and he just, you know, could have killed a kid years ago. And
yeah, but I imagine he's killed lots of children throughout his existence. So why this one? Why is this one so special?
I think it could be the first one, or maybe it's what he looked like as a child or something.
Maybe. Oh, maybe that's his child form.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because...
Who knows?
Yeah, we'll find out.
I'm sure we'll find out. That's good speculation here. But yeah, that's basically how it ends and everything. Speaking of speculation, do you have any other speculation of what you think might happen in the next episode or two?
I hope the Flash shows up at least within the next two episodes. Jay Garrick.
Yeah, I'm not sure when he's supposed to show, but I know it's sometime this season.
And maybe the pseudo Starman or whoever, you know.
Yeah, I want Joel McHale. Come on.
He was in the first episode, and then that was it.
Come on, just give me some Joel McHale.
Something.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of maybe we're going to see Jakeem at some point with the pen.
Have to. Unless they're setting that up for another season or something. Maybe it'll be a
slow burn.
A villain or a hero next season or something.
This show is very, very slow burn, I've noticed that. They really stretch things out.
For a show with a lot of cold people, it's a very slow burning show.
Yes. For very, cold people. Ice cubes, whatnot. You know.
Maybe they should bring Ice Cube and Ice Tea on the show. And
it's not that kind of show.
Oh.
It's not a special victims unit show.
Oh, okay.
Well, it could be if you think about it.
I don't know. Yolanda's hanging out with this little boy, giving him candy and stuff. I mean,
well, she's a waitress at a restaurant.
I'm joking. So,
if anything, Eclipso is the weird one, is taking on the form of a child. So the reason it could be a special victims unit. Like, why are you so obsessed with that form, Eclipso? It's why don't you take a seat? Let's talk about this.
Bring in
Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen.
Why don't you take a seat?
Yeah. And then Calypso just answers back, well, what about your tax problems there, buddy? Oh. Yes. So. Anyways, anything else here, Matt, before we wrap things up here?
No.
Okay, so, you know. Folks, you know, be sure to check us out on our social media. We've got a Facebook fan page, the All Too Real 2 podcast group. You know, we got that. We got the fan page as well. We've also got, you know, you can check stuff out at CullenPark.com. You can check stuff at AllTooReal2.com. We got a Patreon. We've got a T Public store. You can get some cool shirts. Nice soft shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and soft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling myself up.
You're not wearing a shirt.
No, but this shirt's soft too.
Yeah, that's true. Mine's not so. I guess mine's a little bit soft.
Yeah. So just, you know, when you get the shirt, then you can, like, feel up your chest.
Yeah. Well,
and, wait, what?
Well,
So
maybe not. Well, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you can do whatever you want. It's your own body.
It's true.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
I mean, we still have that freedom. If you're a woman, at least, you might have that freedom for a little bit longer.
Yeah, if you're in Texas, you probably don't.
Probably not.
But, anyways, the. This country sucks.
Yeah.
Be safe, people. You know?
Yeah.
Be kind to each other, you know.
Right.
Rewind with each other. Wait, what? wear a mask, folks. Wear a fucking condom. Wait. Okay, anyways.
Don't take ivermectin unless you're prescribed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that you're a horse and you need deworming.
Yeah.
And if you're a horse and you're listening to the show, I'd really love to have you on here because that'd be really cool.
That would be awesome.
Maybe you could talk to us about the Mr. Ed episode we watched.
God.
Anyways. Until next time, folks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at CullenPark.com.